Father in heaven, we do thank you for your amazing grace. That grace that invades our lives, that deep love, that sacrificial love that Jesus gave for us. We thank you that it has transformed us. It has brought us into a new relationship with our Heavenly Father, and it promises us eternity because of what Jesus has accomplished for us and the faith that we place in him. So this morning, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we do pause to give you thanks, because where would we be without you? So, Father, we thank you this morning for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Nice to have you here. Have a seat. It's time for Kids Connection and also for Senior High. Senior High have a class this morning, so they're good to go. I do want to take a moment and just unwind, if I can. It's been a very stressful morning. Our internet was down. So for those of you online, I want to just pause and I just want to say thank you to our tech people for all the... Because it was a frantic morning for them. Nobody wants to come to church to get more stress, right? You know, but this team worked diligently, got everything going, got everything working. And I just want to thank them, because otherwise, it was a fun morning otherwise. So thank you for that. Really appreciate all you guys, okay? All the work that you've done. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Awesome. And we even have a backup modem that we pay for. So we're not ever supposed to go down. Okay? So let's not believe everything we hear, even when we're paying for it. Okay? So I'm sure we're going to have a little conversation with our carrier this week. Okay? Awesome. We're talking about wisdom. We've been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you were to ask, is there a secret key or a magic bullet to wisdom, what would it be? Now, you might be a little bit surprised at the answer, but I think there's one thing that you must be able to do if you want to pursue wisdom in any way, shape, or form. You may not agree right away, but hopefully I could convince you as we go. But the one thing you need to be able to do if you want to pursue wisdom in any kind of way is you need to be able to think differently. Over the years, we have seen people who have thought differently and make an impact on our world and bring things to our world. Maybe you know, it's not always beneficial to humanity, but often the path to wisdom is the ability to think differently than the rest of the culture that is trying to herd you in a particular way, or trying to move you to kind of, you know, surrender to the culture and surrender to everything that's going on. There's a time where you have to think differently. And to think differently means you need to be discerning of what is going on. And if you're not able to think differently, then wisdom, I say, is going to elude you. It's going to be hard, because you're not going to be able to discern what's really going on around you and be able to find the path of wisdom. In fact, biblically, I would argue that's a lot of what the Bible talks about. Listen to this passage in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend or lean on your own understanding. Okay? It's asking you to think differently. Okay? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Do you realize in the book of James that wisdom is one of the things you can pray to God for, and he will give it to you? There's not a whole lot of passage in the Bible that say, when you pray, here's what I guarantee you're going to be able to get. But there's two places where it does kind of tell us. It says, one passage in Philippians says that we're going to get the peace that passes all understanding. And in James, it says, if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. Now, I don't know about you, but those are two incredible promises that I think we struggle with culturally, right? That God would give us peace in the and peace that passes all understanding, you know? It's going to be a peace in the midst of whatever you're going through. And you're going to get wisdom in a way that is empowered by God. And I think those are two, you know, wonderful wisdom promises that we have. Now, the Bible talks about the beginning of wisdom, you know, is happens through the fear of the Lord. So it means that when we're living our lives and we're going to do something, there's a moment where we're going to step into a situation and we kind of pause and go, oh, wait a minute, is this good for me? Is God going to be happy with this decision that I'm about to make or this step that I'm about to take? And fear of the Lord says, wait, you know, it makes you pause and go, wait a minute, this might not be the best decision or the thing that God is going to honor in my life. And that's the way wisdom kind of unpacks itself in your life. It's the ability to think differently, but to think hopefully in the way that God thinks. And, you know, we're going to look at a passage coming out of, you know, Ecclesiastes 6 and 7. Next week, we're going to be doing Ecclesiastes chapter 8. But the section that we're looking at today, I call them wisdom hacks, because they're not typically, if somebody was to talk about wisdom or things that we would be comfortable with, this whole section lists a number of uncomfortable things that says are better than what we would expect. All right? So these are the wisdom hacks that come out of chapter 7, and we're looking at the first 14 verses, I believe. So see if any of this resonates with you, okay? Here is chapter 7, verse 1. A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. Now, obviously, in that day and culture, the contrast is pretty extreme, because that perfume would have cost, you know, a king's ransom, you know, in many, many ways. It was even a burial ritual, well, all those kinds of things. So that's the contrast in this day and age. A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. And the day you die, and the day you die is better than the day you are born. Does that force you to think differently? Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. I'm going to pause for a minute. I'm going to tell you something really strange. I don't often admit this, but if I had a choice between a funeral and a wedding, I would do the funeral. I know that sounds strange, but over the years that I've been a pastor, the funeral is, you know, people are listening. Not necessarily at a wedding. Okay? And I just felt the chill in the room just. Okay? All right? Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. Yeah. How much of that is not your normal way to think? All of that is sort of contrary to what, you know, we get pushed towards. Okay? But recognizing the short and brief time that we have on this creation, you would think that in many ways what the teacher is talking about here is to value every single day. That every single moment that you are blessed with life, every single breath you take should be a place of gratitude. Okay? There's my Thanksgiving message. Okay? There's the tie-in to Thanksgiving. Okay? Right? Because honestly, you know, the lessons that grow my soul rarely come wrapped in joy. We all know that instinctively in many ways. And true wisdom often hides behind the uncomfortable, the difficult, or even the sad. That's just, you know, we all know that instinctively, that often our greatest lessons come through the greatest hurt in our lives. And I've said this many times before, but if you look at the happiest moment of your life and you look at the saddest moment of your life, both of them likely were related to love. Both of them were likely related to love. And that's the power of grace. That's the power of love in our lives, right? It hurts incredibly in those moments where, you know, we've lost someone, or, you know, the pain of a situation, right, stresses that love to such degree. Love rarely grieves, it just reminds us. Okay? It continues. Okay? Adversity and sobering moments reorient us to an eternal perspective. Listen to these passages. Luke 6:20, then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man, you follow Jesus. When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Remember I said you have to think differently oftentimes for wisdom to really kick in, for wisdom to really make itself known? All of those things that Jesus just said, Sermon on the Mount, are all opposites of what we expect. What do you mean? I'm hungry now, but I'm going to be blessed. What do you mean? I'm poor, and I'm going to be blessed. That the kingdom of heaven belongs to me. You know, everything in the world says I'm not worthy. I'm down on the scale. I'm down on the social ladder. But to think that God, even in my situation, cares for me, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Romans 8, 17 to 18 says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Wow. I would like to have one without the other. Thank you very much, right? Like, why is this part of the package? Why is this part of the package? Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. I'll tell you. Every difficult situation has the potential to open my eyes, not only open my eyes, but to open my heart. I don't know how many times I've run into people who their hearts have been changed because of one difficult situation. And that difficult situation stays with them, but they're never the same person. Their sense of empathy rises. Their sense of compassion rises. Their sense of mercy rises. Their sense of seeing other people differently rises. As hard as it is, God always leaves us with a lesson in those difficult situations. Because wisdom is often forged during times of difficulty and adversity. See, one of the reasons I remember at the beginning of this series, I said, how many wise people do you know compared to how many smart people do you know? And the ratio is usually like this. Smart people like this, wise people like this. Because we live in a culture that does not promote the kinds of things that promote wisdom. Okay, I know that's hard to take, and I know I'm being Mr. Anti-cultural today. I don't mean to be that, but the fact of the matter is we get pushed to all kinds of things that don't necessarily generate wisdom in us. They're driving us to be happy. They don't even drive us to be content. But wisdom is found in those difficult situations, in those tensions, in those conflicts, and those traumas, and those hurts, and those difficulties, because it grinds us towards an eternal perspective that otherwise we would never get if everything was sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. And we would only be surface people, not people of depth, because true compassion, true mercy, true grace, true love, all of those things are never at the surface level. They're always deeper. They're always deeper. Okay? Always deeper. The Greek word for compassion is your guts. Do you know that? It's your intestines. That's why when somebody says, I hate your guts, it means that I hate you right at the core of who you are. But when Jesus had compassion, it said right from the very center of his being, he had compassion on people. He had mercy towards them, that grace that's deeply embedded in who he is. Okay? You guys tracking with me? Yeah? Happy Thanksgiving. All right, we're gonna do more wisdom hacks. Here's the next section. Ecclesiastes 7:5. Better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. A fool's laughter is quickly gone like thorns crackling in a fire. What a picture, eh? Extortion turns wise people into fools, and bribes corrupt the heart. He's talked a lot about, money and just what it can do to you, okay? But here's what he's trying to say in this passage, is that correction will grow us, while inflated praise and ego turn us into fools. Okay? Correction will grow us, while inflated praise and ego. When I talk about inflated praise, I'm talking about, stuff that's unhealthy, that's just, blowing smoke, the stuff that's just saying things just to say things, that's not directed, it's not, generic, it doesn't praise specific things so people know what it is that you're actually encouraging them towards. Do you realize there's such a thing as toxic encouragement? Okay? Or inflated praise, insincere, disingenuous praise, things like that that really don't speak to the individual, the person, and what it is that you really see in them. Okay? Because without those specifics, people get confused. But you said I was this, and I was just trying to be nice. Okay? But I've been told that, inflated praise and that increases narcissism, increases dependence, increases, lack of motivation, all those kinds of things. Or fear of, have a greater fear of failure and all that kind of stuff. Okay? All right, let me keep going. Here's the next section. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Here's the one This is a 10-week sermon series for me. Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. I don't know about you, that's an ouch. That's a big ouch. Big Band-Aid, take it off, right? That's an ouch. Wisdom is even better when you have money. Isn't that interesting? Wisdom is even better when you have money. Both are a benefit as you go through life. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything. But, only wisdom can save your life. Isn't that beautiful? Whoa, like this is 3,000 years ago. You know, this is like a long time ago. It speaks like right into where we are. Accept the way God does things, and who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Remember that nothing is certain in this life. How many of you want to control everything that you do? Don't put up your hand. Okay? But don't we tend towards control in one way or another? Or at least control what we can, have whatever agency in our lives that we can? Okay? But here's the thing about wisdom. Wisdom does not eliminate mystery or answer every question, but it does direct us along a path of deeper meaning by learning to trust God through it. I don't know about you, but I've tried for many years to get every answer I could possibly get. And I don't know about you, but often when I ask the questions, I end up with more questions, not more answers. Questions are just the part of life. And there's times where we have to say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't get it. I can't figure this out on my own. You've given me wisdom. And sometimes the wisdom that God gives us is to just say, rest in God and let him handle it for you. I know I was praying for the internet today. And I know the tech team worked really hard. But I think God helped us a bit too. Can I say that? Can I say that? God's mysteries aren't obstacles to faith, by the way. God's mysteries are not obstacles to faith. What they are is an invitation to trust. If we try to put into, how much is the brain weight? How many ounces? Like, was it 28, or is that the soul? Okay. Nobody knows what the brain weighs? Come on, people. Oh, no. Okay? 6 pounds or something like that? Where was I going with that? To put everything, all the mysteries of life, into this 6 pounds is the fastest path to an explosion. Right? God has given us everything we need to know to have faith. And everything else is just a gift. Everything else that we learn is just a gift. Wisdom is precious, but it's not perfect. It points us to fear God, not trust ourselves. You know? Ecclesiastes 6 and 7 reminds us that wisdom is not the elimination of pain or confusion. It's learning to trust God through those moments. That's wise. That is wise. The wise don't demand answers. They rest in the giver of life's mysteries. See, when meaning is gone in our lives, it creates a vacuum, doesn't it? And whenever we as humans experience a vacuum, we attempt to fill it in ways that aren't necessarily healthy. You know, we talked about philosophy, how last week, how we try to fill our minds with philosophy. And we talked last week about trying to fill our bodies through hedonism, you know, these self-pleasures that we do. Or to fill our pockets with materialism and try to find meaning and happiness through those things. Or our conscience, we try to be ethical people, right, to fill our own conscience. And sometimes, you know, we're only doing that to satisfy our own need and our own meaning in our own life, not necessarily to help other people. And then we do religion to fill our spirit. And yet we're so far from God when we think we're close. But you know how just a little bit of religion can be dangerous? Because sometimes a little bit of religion actually pushes you farther from God. Okay? Do you realize that only the wrong people in your life want you to stay ignorant? People who really care about you do not want you living in the dark. Only those who want to use you or abuse you or use you for their ends or their, you know, whatever motivations they have, they're the ones that want you living in the dark. No? Yeah? Yeah? I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. Only the people that don't care about you want you living in the dark. You know? Ignorance without awareness turned inward becomes arrogance or insecurity. Ignorance without awareness turned inward becomes arrogance or insecurity. But here's the good news. God does not want you living in the dark. God wants you to know who He is. He wants you to know how to have a life that's full of purpose and meaning. Because fear of the Lord leads to an integration of life and truth. Those two come together when it comes to the fear of the Lord. That God will give you the truth that you need for a life that's full of meaning and purpose. That's a big message in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I don't know about you, I'm tired of striving in my humanness to try to get it right when God is only a prayer away. And the wisdom of God is only a prayer away. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, this teacher who experienced everything in ways that many of us haven't. And yet, in all of it, he talks about the meaningless of chasing these things, because it's like chasing the wind, because even if we catch them, we open our hands and there's nothing there. Lord, I know it's hard to sort of separate ourselves from the world that we live in. And there's so many things that distract us and attract us and consume our lives. But Lord, I pray that this week, whether in person or online, that we would come to a place this week where we can say, Lord, I trust you. My life is maybe not perfect. I've experienced things that I wish I didn't experience. I've been hurt in ways that I never wanted to be hurt. I've seen things I never really wanted to ever see, and I hope never to ever again. And Lord, if I try to figure it out on my own, all of it is a mystery beyond compare. But Lord, I know that there are times where you have spoken into my life and into my heart, and it hasn't made everything perfect, but it's given it meaning. It's given it purpose. It's given it a heartbeat that I never would have experienced otherwise. Because, Lord, if you weren't there, the mystery and the absolute vapidness of life and the things that we experienced can leave me hopeless. But with you, Lord, hope is always there. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you this week. We thank you for the teacher and the lessons he is giving us through Ecclesiastes. And, Lord, help us to think differently. In Jesus' name, amen.